Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Monday. To some of you listening in other parts of the world, it may be Tuesday morning or Tuesday evening, but no matter what time of the day it is, this is Brother Nathaniel Hunt with the Church Christ Eliza message on the broadcast titled Jesus Word to Midnight Cry Broadcast. I thank God for all you've been listening. Those of you that's listening here in the United States, welcome. Canada and Spain, welcome. Welcome to you, Ireland, in the Netherlands, United Kingdom, welcome. And to every country that I have not named that is listening to this broadcast, I want to welcome you to Jesus Word to Midnight Cry broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. Now, if you have any prayer requests, I will pray with you. If you have any question about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus Christ to answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes based on the duration of the broadcast. And any of you want to get any information on how to get copy of the messages, I will get that to you also. I do understand, once again, that perhaps there are some of you who have questions or have requests that you don't want to do over the air. So just send it to me. Contact me at the email address, NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And I will get back to you on that. Amen. So, glory be to God, wherever you listen to me at, hey, for those of you that don't mind, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for another blessed day, another opportunity you've given, dear God, for us to come together once again. And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you will bless us with understanding of thy word. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory and honor and praise. We magnify you because you're worthy to be praised, and we lift you up. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Well, today we are on another section of a series, new but not so new, per se. For those of you that are first-time listeners, you can go back and listen to the other series, you know, and they go back some series starting at Redemption. This series I've been covering now has different sections, different parts, but it's all under concerning the plan of redemption of Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you may not see, but you're going to see how important it is for you to know this from the Word of God. Because whether you believe it or not, as I've shared with many of you before, or what the Lord has been dealing with me about for the past 3 weeks or so, that your faith concerning Jesus, let me specify that, talking about your faith concerning your car, your house, your kingdom spouse, all of that. No, I'm talking about your faith concerning Christ. It's going to be challenged in a greater way. To some of you, it's just going to be challenged because for some of you, it hasn't been challenged yet. But for others of you that who have seen some challenges concerning your faith in Christ, it's going to get challenged in a greater way. And so you're going to have to dig down deep and receive more of the word of God that he may help you make a greater stand. Because what this country is heading to is what you have maybe heard about or seen in the other countries. And it's going to be important for you to not just know Jesus, but know and believe in what he's done, okay? This is why this series of redeeming and redemption is also very important. Because I'm telling you guys, you're going to be tested. Your faith is going to be challenged in a greater way concerning your belief in Christ. Okay? So if you're in the church services and you jumping up and hollering and you saying, Jesus is the way, he's the head, he's the this and that, well, okay. You're finna get ready to walk the walk. Because whether you believe it or not, things on this earth is not going to get better. I'm just going to lay that down for you simple and plain. There are going to be, as I told you, greater challenges to the faith of many. And you're going to have to stand on the word of Christ. See, you're not going to be able to have those crutches that you lean on per se. You're going to have to stand on the word of Christ in order to overcome what you're going to be facing. And that goes to all of us as Christians, okay? Now, the title of this part of the series is The Midnight Cry, Redeemed from Sin. The Midnight Cry, Redeemed from Sin. Now, we're living in the last hour, and this is why this refers to as the midnight hour, okay? When you look at Matthew chapter 25, the Bible tells us, and Jesus giving his parable, he said that at midnight there was a cry made. So the midnight is supposed to be the kind of the darkest time of the hour. Well, we're coming to, we are at this right now in this place of the darkest time of the hour before Christ returns, okay? And the Lord is still speaking a modern day word today. Now, during this series that I've been doing, for those of you that have been listening, I've been sharing with you some definitions of the word redeem. And one of them is going to our lesson tonight. Okay? Amen. In the plan of redemption, Jesus Christ, not Buddha, not Elijah Muhammad, not a Hindu god, not anyone else, but Jesus redeemed us, or in other words, he freed us from what would distress or harm us, okay? Which involved helping us to overcome something detrimental. See, the definition, one of the definitions of the word redeem means to free from what distress or harms, to extricate from or help to overcome something detrimental, okay? In the plan of redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the plan of man, wasn't no committee board called together to orchestrate this plan. It was the plan of the Father, plan of Jesus Christ, was set out to free us from what would distress or harm us. Not to free us from something that would help us, but to free us from something that would distress or harm us. In other words, in the plan of redemption of Jesus Christ, it involves him helping us to overcome something detrimental. Now, if you have your Bibles, let's go to the Bible, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And in fact, it should be the last verse, scripture, in that chapter. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And I pray that you be giving your undivided attention. This is very important. Glory to God. I sense the Holy Ghost right now touching me at this moment as I go into the word, hallelujah, right now. So once again, in the plan of redemption, Christ set out to redeem us or free us from what would distress or harm us. In that, he will help us to overcome something detrimental. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says what? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see that? So the thing that Christ freed us from that would distress or harm us, the thing that involved him helping us to overcome something detrimental was sin. Because the word detrimental means damaging or harm, okay? As you see here in this scripture, the wages of sin is death. It's not life. Now, when you look at wages, you think of payment for service rendered, okay? Just like those of you that are working, okay, and you get your check, they have down there wages. That's what you earn, okay, for services or for the work that you've done. So here, concerning the work of sin, when the work of sin is put into play, there comes death. When we are operating or living in sin. Sin will not lead you to eternal life. Sin will not lead you to life. You got people right now thinking they on top of the world because they're living in sin and they're, quote, having fun. But remember, the Bible says here that the wages of it is death. So when it comes time to collect, notice he said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So life comes through Christ. And notice it says eternal life. Amen. Now, we want to look at a little bit closely about this death, because he said the wages of sin is death. So Christ, in the plan of redemption, set out to free us from sin. He set out to help us overcome sin, because the damage that sin can bring is death. Now, when you look at this word death here, one of the things, and I'm going to go to three scriptures to show you on this. One of the things that you want this death is that especially the Bible does elaborate that there are three types of death. Now, I just take a pause for a minute and let that sink in. Because some of you, when you hear death, you only think of one of them. And of course, that's the only one you've been familiar with, because that's the only one that's been talked to you about ever since you was in this world, can understand stuff and growing up. So I can understand, because I was in the same position, how that some of you listening now, what I just said is saying, say what? Three types of death? What you talking about? I only know one type. Well, no, there's three types, especially. Okay? Now, let's take a look at them right quick. Let's go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Verse 26, the very last verse in that chapter. Remember, in Romans 6 and 23, we are told that the wages of sin is death. Okay? That's the payment that you get for committing the sin, for living in sin, your wages. It's not going to be the good thing. It's going to be death. So we must understand the three types of death to understand this death that Paul is talking about in Romans 6 and 23. That I want you to understand that Christ helped us and set forth to free us from, which is sin, that produces and brings about this death. Now, James chapter 2, verse 26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, notice it said the body without the spirit is dead. Well, what did that contribute to? That's physical death. You know, when you see people, when you go to a funeral of someone that died, what happened is their spirit and soul left the body. So they are physically dead. See, we got to understand that all of this started back with Adam. And when the Lord told him, said, you can eat of every tree of the garden except this tree, and the day you eat it, you shall die. And see, some people said, well, he didn't die. But I said to them, yes, he did, which will bring us to the other death, but we'll talk about it in a minute. But he did die. And that sin also brought in physical death, okay? You understand that? Hallelujah. It brought in physical death. And Jesus came to free us from the physical death. The time will come that there will be no more physical death. That's the one of the deaths that's going to be completely done at the end. Now, the other two I'm going to mention too is completely done by Christ now based on us doing what we have to do, but we'll look at it in a minute. So when he said that the wages of sin is death, one of the deaths he's talking about is physical death. Do you know that that's something? Okay, for example, there are some sins that you could commit that will cause you to die before your time. Did you know that? Yeah. Amen. There are some people, there are many people that have died before their time doing certain stuff they got no business doing. Okay? So the wages of sin can bring physical death. It can bring physical death before its time. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Just like if you was a drunkard, you keep drinking and drinking and drinking. So all of a sudden, you know, you drink to where you're getting cirrhosis and all that and liver stuff like that, and you end up dying at a time that you didn't need to die. Amen. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at the other death, okay? Amen. Let's look at the other death. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Amen. Now the word of God says, and you have he quickened means made alive, who were dead in trespass and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now notice that he said, and you have been quickened. Quickened means made alive. Who were dead in trespass and sin, wherein time past ye walked. Now, if this dead he's talking about was literal physical death, then how could you have walked according to the course of this world if you were dead in your past? So this dead right here couldn't be physical death. This dead here is what you call spiritual death. Okay? Because remember, overall, death means separation. Okay? So when you're physically dead, your spirit and soul is separated from the body. When you are spiritually dead, you are separated from God. You're separated from God. That's spiritual dead. To those who are not born again, they are spiritually dead. This is why when you got saved, the word told you that you received what? Life. Because you, once again, You got to go back to Adam. The Lord said, the day you eat that fruit, you shall die. He died. People said, no, he didn't. Yes, he did. He died spiritually. Spiritual death entered in his spirit. And along with spiritual death came physical death. Okay? This was the wages of sin. What sin? The sin of disobedience that the Lord told him that the day you eat that fruit, you shall die. So it brought, he came spiritually dead, separated from God, and it brought on physical death. See, that's why man can't live forever in this time frame like this. You can't live forever in this time frame. The flesh only can go so long. Physical death is going to take it. Unless if you're alive when Christ comes, Bible says you're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. But if you're not alive when Christ comes, you're going to face physical death. That's the end of us. Amen? Which is going to be completely handled, done with all the rules. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that when all the rules of man is put down, that's when we're going to come to the end of physical death. When Christ ultimately ruled, especially here on earth. Okay? So, we looked at James chapter 2, physical death. We looked at Ephesians chapter 2, spiritual death. When Adam sinned, he became spiritually dead, which also opened up for physical death to come. Okay? Are you still with me? Glory to God. Now, let's look at the third one. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And I'm going to read verses 12 to verse 14. Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 to verse 14. Now, the word of God says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into, get this, the lake of fire. This is the second death. So this third one is referred to as the second death, where you cast to the lake of fire and brimstone. These three had a part, a hold on man. See, we all was heading to hell and to the lake of fire and brimstone. Why? Because what Adam did, Romans chapter 5 tell you, that he caused death to come upon all of us. See, when Adam sinned, death came in his spirit and also the sin nature. And so all of us that was born into this world was born into this sin nature. The only one that didn't take upon that, and, you know, his blood wasn't mingled with bad blood was Christ. But for the most part, we came into this sin nature. Okay? So man needed a deliverer to deliver him from heading to this final state, the second death, which would be in the lake of fire. And that's what the plan of redemption of Christ did. It came to redeem us from spiritual death and the second death and the physical death. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Time gonna come, it's gonna be no more death. But see, he did what he did already to take care of that, okay? You understand what I'm saying? He did what he did to take care of that. Thank you, Lord. So, Christ redeemed us. He set out in the plan of redemption to redeem us from sin, to help us overcome sin, because sin being detrimental to us, sin being detrimental, flight. Amen. Glory to God. So, we thank God for what he did. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, he is to help us overcome sin because, see, that's what sin leads. It leads finally, in the finality, to the lake of fire. See, it leads to hell, and as you read with me, Revelation 20, that death and hell was cast to the lake of fire. See, that's why our hearts should grieve for people who love that sin. You know, the ones you've been telling about Jesus, they just mock you and laugh in your face and say, I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to have my fun. Well, guess what? Time is going to run out. And they're going to see where their so-called fun is going to lead them. And it's sad to say that some of us as Christians have become wrapped up in that so-called fun thing that many of the sinners are talking about. See, listen, for the biggest part, and I'm not saying every single thing, but for the biggest part, you have to watch the unsaved man when he's talking about, man, we're going to have some fun. Because many times you find out what they call fun, a no-no in it, okay? And see, some of us as Christians, we want to be so accepted by the world that we're willing to come down to, quote, their standard of, quote, having fun just to please them. So therefore, we get into the arena of committing a sin. And now you got some Christians, quote, they're starting to, quote, like it. Listen, people, sin puts us on one road. It ain't the road of happiness. It ain't the road of eternal life. It ain't the road of eternal peace. But it puts us on the road to eternal torment forever. You get what I'm saying? See, my Lord, help us. See, people, they're not getting it, okay? They're really not getting it. People think committing sin, oh, that's just the greatest thing. That's how we have fun. This is why people that really love their sinful life, when it comes to the things of God and the church, that's why they be so bored. Amen. When you tell them, say, hey, we can have fun, which Christians can have fun. See, there's a fun that is clean to God, and then there's a fun that's not clean. Now, you tell some of the sinners, and sad to say now, some Christians, that, hey, you know, hey, we can have some fun, but we're going to need to stop the drinking. Boy, when you say that, man, now you're getting some funny looks. We got to stop the nasty dancing and stuff. Oh, man, now they're starting to shake, okay? Shake with anger. Amen. But see, some of the Christians have become joined into that. And now they're, quote, loving the sin like the unbeliever. You get that? Wow. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Okay. Amen. Matthew chapter 1. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Glory to the risen God. Now, thank you, Lord. The angel of the Lord, and we're going to go to verse 21. Joseph, who was called Jesus' quote, earthly dad, even though when you look at it, it was no joining of Joseph and Mary to produce a child dealing with Jesus. You know, it wasn't none of that, okay? The power of the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and there the baby's in the womb. But anyhow, Joseph has found out that Mary is pregnant.
And he know he ain't been with her. So now, you know, Joseph is thinking, you know. And Joseph being a righteous man, because he didn't try to make no example out of Mary, like, woman, get away from here and try to show up in front of people. He didn't do that. He thought about privately putting her away, you know, just putting out, you know, doing it in secret, not trying to embarrass. You know, sometimes when people find stuff on you, they try to embarrass you, okay? They try to embarrass you. They even though what they got may be true, okay? Amen. That's why, you know, even some truth as us as Christians, we find out, we got to be careful how we handle it. And like I said, some people want to make a public display of other people. But as Joseph's thinking on it, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And this angel, God authorized this angel to tell Joseph, hey, go ahead and take Mary to be your wife, for what is conceiving her is of the Holy Ghost. In other words, he's letting Joseph, Mary ain't slept around. This is something that God the Father have done by his power, placing the baby in the womb. And then he goes on to elaborate a little further about the plan of the whole thing. Because, see, Joseph, he didn't know the plan. See, this plan had to be revealed to him, just like to all of us. When the Lord especially have a specific plan, even for your life, it has to be revealed to you. You understand that? It got to be revealed to you. So now that Joseph getting this information, like, okay, Joseph, Mary ain't slept around on you. This babe, this child, she pregnant, it was by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now he's going to give Joseph some more information. Verse 21 said, and she shall bring forth a son. So he letting Joseph know what particular gender. Oh, seems like that word float around today in a no-no way. But here Joseph is given what particular gender she was going to give birth to. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. See, he didn't even let the parents name, okay? That's how special this child is. One other person I saw that was done to, in a sense, in this New Testament, was John the Baptist. So they had a special word that the father did not let the parents name the child, told them what the name going to be. So verse 21 said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save, okay, did you see that word, save? Now remember, the word redeem, you know, remember when we was in school, there was words that were called synonyms. And synonyms is a word that means the same as another word, but it's spelled different. So when you look at the word redeem, one of the words that is a synonym to it that means the same but spelled different is the word save. So here when he said, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save, or what? Redeem his people in their sins, right? No. He said from their sins. From. He is to redeem them from what was to be detrimental to them. Why? Because we read in Romans 6 and 23 that the wages of sin is what? Death. Do you get that? Jesus came to deliver us from sin, not to deliver us into sin. It would make no sense trying to deliver us into sin when the sin produces what? Death. When the sin is detrimental and harmful to you. If something is detrimental and harmful to somebody, you want to get them away from it. Okay? Amen. And so you got many today who look at and think that Christ, quote, delivers them while they're in their sin. Because, see, you got some people, they don't want to quit living in sin. They want to claim Christ, but they don't want to quit living in sin. And Jesus said, that's a no-no. He said, I come to deliver you from sin, not in your sin. Okay? Remember, back in the Old Testament, when they sacrificed the blood of bulls and goats, remember the blood, that atonement part of the blood could only cover sin. It couldn't take away. Okay? It couldn't take away sin. The blood of animals could not take away sin. The blood of animals could not free you from sin. The blood of animals could not help you overcome sin. But see, the blood of Jesus can, because there's power in his blood. And it can help anyone overcome sin. You know, you hear people say, man, I just drink and drink. Ain't no hope, ain't no help for me. That ain't true. That's not true. There is hope and help. It's Jesus. Amen. Because in the plan of redemption, that's what he has set up. In the plan of redemption, to help us overcome that which is detrimental, to free us from sin and its captivity. Hallelujah. You understand that? Glory to God. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1, okay? John the Revelator, who was, quote, banished to the Isle of Patmos. Why? Because his gender? No. Because he stole something? Why? Because he was one of the apostles who believe in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm telling you, people, I pray that you hear what I'm telling you. And I know some of you might say, oh, he's just a rambler. Some of you may joke around on it. But I'm telling you, you're going to see it. Because not only me, there are others who are speaking the word and telling you and telling others, all these going to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ against you if you don't want to hear. Okay, and it's your choice. Now, if you don't want to hear, that's up to you. Even the Lord wants you to know. That's your choice, but there's going to be consequences. Amen. Now, in Revelation chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 4 and 5. Verse 5 is the key verse. And the word said, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and did what? Washed us from our sins. Not washed us in our sins. Okay? Washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, let me ask you a question. What if you had some dirty clothes? Why would you wash some dirty clothes in dirt? What do you expect to get? I know you get dirt. That's what you're going to get. You can't wash some dirty pants and some dirt and expect it to come out clean. It's not going to happen like that. And see, this is what people don't understand. Christ came to redeem us from our sin, not in your sin. Can't deliver you in your sin when you're still in the sin. He come to redeem you from your sin. Now, the word wash here in the original Greek word is luo, which means to bathe the whole person. Amen. He came to wash us from our sin. He came to bathe the whole man, spirit, soul, and body, the whole person. Amen. Why? Because he set out to deliver us from sin. Do you get that? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He came to cleanse and deliver us from sin. From sin having a hold on us, from sin ruling us. That's what he came to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at, and I want to say probably one more scripture. Let's go back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Now look what it said. It said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, okay, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So he came to deliver us from sin so we won't have to serve sin. You get that? The body of sin is your spirit that became born again, that had the old sin nature in it. Yeah, remember the sin nature I mentioned to you earlier in the broadcast, okay? Amen. Had the old sin nature. Christ came to deliver us and redeem us, redeem it from that old sin nature. Even though that old sin nature is still in our flesh, and our flesh is going to be changed, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15, in the twinkling of an eye. But he came, that's why we were born again, to deliver us from that sin nature that it resides in our spirit. Once again, all this coming from what? From when Adam committed the sin. The Bible said death passed upon all men, not on some men. And the Bible lets you know, even though they ain't sinned after the same way that Adam did. In other words, eating the forbidden fruit, they commit other sins. So sin, the wages was death, okay? Hallelujah. That's why when you look at verse 12 in the same sixth chapter of Romans, look what he said, tell us. He said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, okay, that ye shall obey it in the lust thereof. See, if we couldn't do nothing concerning sin, and that's by God giving us the power, then the Apostle Paul was wrong for telling us to not let sin therefore reign. In other words, we don't have to let sin rule in our body. We don't have to. Amen. We don't have to. See, some of y'all think because maybe there's certain things you're struggling with that you just have to let it go and just let it do. But you don't. Because, see, this is why the devil try to keep you in ignorance and not study the word of God, because the devil don't want you to know what God gave you. When you accepted Christ as Lord, you know what else you got? You got what is called an inheritance. You inherit something, okay? Amen. And one of the things you inherit as a Christian was power from the Lord Jesus Christ through the precious blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Power, people. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Power. That was to help us to overcome sin. So to you that's listening, maybe you're a heavy drinker and you get drunk a lot, and now you're at the point you saying, man, because I'm going to tell you, people need to hear this. That sin that you're committing, that you have so much joy in doing, the joy concerning that sin only lasts for a season. And what I've seen that has not failed is that when you commit that sin so long, what happens is the time will come, instead of it being fun and joyous to you, it's going to start becoming grievous. Yeah. See, just like some people enjoy getting high, whether it's high, you know, drinking and getting drunk or getting high off drugs. Well, see, they've been doing this so long, and now after doing it so long, it ain't becoming fun no more. It's become like, it's becoming overbearing. Like you got to do it, like you just forced to do it, and it ain't fun no more. Well, see, that's how sin is. Starting out to you, it's like it's fun, and you just having a time of your life, but what's happened, it's going to start becoming grievous. And you're going to be doing it, but there's no, won't be no fun in doing it no more. Now, some of you may have just put your hand over your ears when I said that, but that's okay. The word still went out. Christ's going to witness, amen, to what you've been told. But that's what it's like, people. That got to understand that. So, you know, some of you Christians that's listening, the Bible said, be not envious of sinners. You know, you got sinners, they bragging and boasting and talking about how they having a good time. And see, some of us, we're starting to get, quote, a little envious. And now you find us start leaning that way, doing some of that stuff they doing. Listen, what they doing, it has a price to pay. And it ain't going to be nothing to it.
okay? So you got to not let yourself get caught up in such a thing as that, okay? Amen. But we just see from the Bible here that Christ redeemed us from what would harm us, which is sin. He redeemed us from it. Sin is detrimental to your life, okay? Amen. It's detrimental to your life. Why? Because it brings death. It brings death. Amen. Don't bring life in it. You know, it brings death. Lord Jesus, have mercy upon us. Now, I want to go to the other book that is a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This book is called The Record of the Nephite. For those of you who have been listening, you know what I'm talking about. For those of you who are first-time listeners, you can go back to past episodes and hear concerning this witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the book called The Record of the Nephite, okay? And it's a record of the people over here on this continent during the prehistoric times that the Lord God dealt with also. Because he didn't just deal with the Jews over there in Jerusalem. You know, the Lord, he follows his own protocol, which is what? The mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, I want to read to you, there's a man of God over here named Abinadi, whom the Lord dealt with, and gave him some information about concerning Christ, even before Christ would come in the flesh, telling us what Christ would do. Okay, and he goes on to say, and I'm going to read this to you, he said, and now Abinadi said unto them, now these are two of the people over here on the continent during that time, the Nephites, he said, I would that ye should understand that God himself shall come down among the children of men and shall redeem his people. And because he dwell in the flesh, he shall be called the Son of God, and having subject the flesh to the will of the Father, being the Father and the Son. Now Father, because he was conceived by the power of God, and the Son, because of the flesh, thus becoming the Father and Son. Now, and they are one God, yea, the very eternal Father of heaven and of earth, and thus the flesh becoming subject to the Spirit, or the Son to the Father, being one God, suffer temptation, yield not to the temptation, but suffer himself to be mocked, scourged, and cast out, and disowned by his people. And after all this, and after working many mighty miracles among the children of men, he shall be led, yea, even as Isaiah said, as a sheep before the shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Even so, he shall be led, crucified, and slain, the flesh becoming subject, even unto death, the will of the Father, the will of the sons being swallowed up in the will of the Father. And thus God breaketh the bands of death, having gained a victory over death, giving the Son power to make intercession for the children of men. Having ascended into heaven, having the bowels of mercy, being filled with compassion toward the children of men, standing betwixt them and justice, get this, having broken the bands of death, taking upon himself their iniquity and their transgression, having redeemed them and satisfied the demands of justice. And now I say unto you, who shall declare his generation? Behold, I say unto you that when his soul has been made an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. And now what say ye? And who shall be his seed? Behold, I say unto you that whosoever have heard these, the words of the prophets, yea, all the holy prophets, which have prophesied concerning the coming of the Lord, I say unto you that all those who have hearkened unto their words and believe that the Lord will redeem his people and have looked forward to that day for a remission of their sins, I say unto you that these are his seed, or they are the heirs of the kingdom of God. Now, listen closely to this last verse I'm going to read. He says, for these are they whose sins he hath borne. Okay? These are they for whom he hath died, to redeem them from their transgressions. And now are they not his seed? Do you hear that? He will come, and he had come to redeem from sin, to redeem from transgression. That's what he came to do. He came to deliver. Because why?
man needed deliverance from the sin. Because why? The judgment was on man. Okay? Man needed deliverance from that. Man couldn't deliver himself from it. Why? Because every time the opportunity came up, man gave in to it. Man needed help. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that's some great love. That Jesus showed love to a people that wasn't thinking about him, just like many today, that he died for, crucified for. They ain't studying Jesus. They ain't thinking about him. Think about having my phone. Okay? But Jesus did it, people. He did it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord and who is God, we thank you, Lord God, for what you have done today and blessing us to come together on this broadcast. We thank you for keeping us as you have done. And you are worthy of the praise, and you're worthy of the honor. We magnify you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory. Glory be to God. Well, tomorrow, Lord say the same, I will come back with part two tomorrow of this, the Midnight Cry, Redeemed from Sin. Amen. Coming back with part two. Glory be to God. I am grateful to all of you that have been listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. This is Brother Nathaniel Hunt. Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. In Jesus' name, have a blessed day. God bless.